don't know if you can hear the what's that, the lapping of the water on the shore here. It's the tiniest little beach, and oh yeah, it's one more part of Buffers Park we haven't quite explored yet. I you know, 20 feet from here we've sat on picnic tables, but today I came down to this little tiny beach. I don't know, I guess what, is it 80 feet long maybe? I don't know. And it's quite lovely, and it's just me and one white swan sitting on the sand. And God, it's nice. And the sun is beating down. This is Sunday, October 31st, my 26th anniversary, and also Halloween. Did I say 26? No, 24th anniversary of getting married. My wife, my poor dear, long-suffering wife, and I eloped 24 years ago today in Japan. I was in a city office in Niigataken signing papers and trying to find witnesses that we needed before hopping into a taxi and jumping onto the ferry, or to take us to the ferry to Sato Island, where we just disappeared, hitchhiked around. We had our Iowa tape player and a cassette tape of Abbey Road, and I had bought a little splitter so we could each have an earphone, or earphones. And yeah, hard to believe now at the age we're at. 24 years ago, I seemed considerably younger, and I guess that's because I was, and my wife sure did too. And it was a pretty exciting, pretty joyful, wow, romantic occasion. And yeah, I'll get into that some other time, maybe a little more. But yeah, today I just want to do a little catch-up. I'm probably talking over a recording I made a few days ago in the cat section of Bluffers Park, because I just rambled on about nothing in particular. Speaking of which, I wonder if I can use this for lead-in. Anthony Marco, our good friend, just put out another podcast, and it was one of those ones, he'd just come back from a week on the road of teaching and training and doing stuff, and got back home, wanted to do a podcast, but couldn't get it going, couldn't get it into gear, and ended up putting something out anyway, which I found interesting enough, on love-hate things, but talked about a concert that's being played, country and western, a couple of singers from a TV show at Niagara Falls Casino, and seeing that he wouldn't go unless somebody paid him $500 to go and sit there and listen to these guys, which is a strange concept. And how much would you pay to suffer through something you don't want to? But really, what I'm getting at is, it's a completely different approach to life than I have entirely. Like, his whole thing was, here's two people, they're going to sing shitty music, it's going to be in a place I've been to before, it's going to be like a 45-minute drive, I'm probably not going to enjoy the music, why would I want to do that? And I had an experience last night with my good buddy Brian that almost goes in the opposite direction in terms of outlook and approach to life. And this is not me being critical of Anthony, it's just using that as a jumping-off point to launch my own conversation here. Brian and I both had a lot of marking to do, him even more than me, and I was in my office, and he said, well, you know, let's get together tonight, and we're going to need a beer after this anyway. Come to his place for dinner, and I'm thinking, oh, shit, I don't know. It was taking me so long, you know, I spent so much time on the internet, fucking around with Facebook and Twitter, and you know, work takes a back seat, and then I had to go and order the Beatles 6, found it online, Deja Vu, and I'm really excited about that. Going through all the back catalog of the Beatles, what songs am I missing so I can get that 100, the complete 100 songs that's in the Rolling Stone magazine, you know. I just get fanatical about some things like that. Like, I've got to have it. I've got to have that complete. And so anyway, the work's not getting done, and so I told him, look, I don't think I'm really going to be able to come for supper, but let's meet up for a beer after. And I'm thinking logistics. Geez, I'm in my office. I got my car. I'm going to get drunk. I can't drive my car back. It's all right to drive it from the GO station to my house, you know, one block around a suburban corner. But Jesus, not from Kingston Road in Maine, you know. And I don't want to go out thinking, well, I can only have two pints because then I'll be limiting myself and it won't be fun. And so on and so on. So, we agree. Why don't we try a new set of bars along Kingston Road? Jeez, you know, Anthony said, you know, telling you details about my personal life, it might be boring. And now suddenly I'm thinking, hey, maybe this is too. But let me warm up. Let me get into it. You know, let me try and get to the point here. We agree. Brian will walk over to my office. We'll meet. And then we'll walk along Kingston Road, which is where my office is. And try a new bar for a change. And I can go through the whole list of them. There's Gabby's, there's Mullins, there's the Feathers, some other, you know, crazy name. But there's a string of pubs, you know, walking distance, which is great. But there's one called the Winchester Arms, and for some reason I really wanted to go to the Winchester Arms. And it's a huge pub. It was empty, and unfortunately it was karaoke night, and that, you know, while one or two singers may be okay, there was a lot of howlers. But we sat up at the bar and had an incredible dinner, like $7.99 for a rack of ribs and fries. Great deal. Very, very cute waitress or bartender. And that's always a big feature for me. Well, we're kind of enjoying, you know, let's have a couple of pints here on tap, a couple of decent Caffrey's Ale. And then you figure, okay, now, nothing's happening here. We're really not enjoying this karaoke. Next door, there's a place called the Alpine. And it really looks like a dive. And I'm convinced this has got to be one of those real scummy bars. Maybe a little bit. Scummy. I mean scummy in the way I like scummy to be. You know, I like dives. And maybe this bar, the Alpine, might be a little bit like the Eaton House we like to go to on the Danforth. And, hey, after all, we've got nothing else to do. And we're exploring. We're finding new bars. We're checking out the territory. This has always been an occupation of mine, sniffing out new bars. I used to have bar tours all over the place. Every city I've gone to, I've always developed a really good bar tour. You know, we've slowed down a bit, but that's okay. Anyway, we look at the Alpine. It's a huge kind of a motel and a bar, and we get in there, and it's cavernous, it's huge, and there's only one guy at the bar, and a couple of people hanging at the end, and we think, well, alright, well, we're here now, let's stay for one anyway, and of course, they don't have the steam whistle on tap that I wanted, and, well, alright, we'll stay anyway, we'll just have a half, and sit up at the bar, chatting with whoever's there. And figure, man, oh man, how does this place even survive? It's dead. But we persevere. We hang in. And suddenly another couple shows up. Oh, somebody in costume. Oh, this is starting to get a little more interesting. It is the Saturday of Halloween. Waitress is really friendly. And then somebody points out, gee, I see some people playing darts. Holy shit, they got a dartboard too. Oh, pool tables on the other side. Wow, and that's a huge place. And then the word gets out, there's a shuffleboard. Now, if you're my age, if you lived in Vancouver, way back in the 70s as I did, pretty well anywhere, maybe Ontario, any old-time bar that you can go into, if you can find one that still has a shuffleboard, remember that bar and get the rocks from the guy behind the bar, get your four quarters ready, and play a game of shuffleboard. God damn, that's fun. Long wax table, if you've never seen it before, long wax narrow table, and you've each got four rocks, red and blue, and the idea is to see how many points you can get by sort of getting to the edge of the other one without, like curling, you know? And, of course, your friend shoots a rock, and then you just gotta get in there and just hit it, bam, knock it off. And then you can bounce, there's a couple of bands on the side, so you can shoot at angles to get behind a rock, you know, ding, ding, off to the curve, you know, in your, like, pool, you know, playing the bands. It is the greatest game. It is so much fun, and it's so exciting. So you sit there and holy fuck, man, this is turning out to be okay. They got a game here. Let's get up there and have a game. And it turns out Brian's an old-time shuffleboard player. We've never played shuffleboard together. It was the greatest thing. Of course, I nipped out for a little weedy-teedy. That aside, it just was a blast. We got three games. Brian won two, I won one. But every match was close and fun. And the excitement of just throwing those rocks down there. So, this business of being open about things is my point. Of being sort of going into a flow and checking things out and not going thinking, as getting back to this previous conversation, well, it's how much money I'm going to spend to get in there and what's it going to be like, and almost predetermining whether your experience is going to be good or not. Okay, I've paid this much, it better be a good concert. And measuring anything by how much it costs, to me, is nuts. Like, of course we make practical decisions here in life, but this, what Brian and I have at our age, 62, 63, is this openness to anything. Like, hey, let's let the evening unfold. Let's see how it goes, you know. And it's just sort of an easiness that just, you're in the moment. You're riding this wave, you know. And holy shit. So, you know, I could end the story right there. We had a great time. Yeah, Brian and I go find a bar and play shuffleboard. Big fucking deal. Well, the place is starting to fill up with people in costumes and characters. Now we're chatting people up. Now suddenly, two of the hottest-looking women I've seen in a bar in a very long time come in. One of them, I thought they were two, Heidis. But no, one was Alice, as in Alice in Wonderland, which would be wearing a very, very short skirt and a little blouse, looking very, very lovely. And the other was a Bavarian barmaid, the kind you'd see slinging beer. And, god damn, I'm going to post a picture, so I won't post any rude comments, language, or saying what this did to two old men seeing these god damn lovely, gorgeous women wearing shortest of skirts and the lowest of tops and the beautifulest of bodies, and holy fuck, our jaws just dropped. And geez, now they came up after our game. They said, "That looks like fun. How do you play?" So we're just, yeah, well, and teaching the rules and kept score for them. And we had these two ringside seats of, you know, I was saying if this was pay per view, people would pay $30 to watch these two women bent over that bar tape, that shuffleboard, slaying those rocks, because believe me, it was a sight to behold. Now that was just listen, Brian and our face, you know, I honestly, I turned to Brian and I said, you know, sometimes I think we're dead, and we've both died, and we're stumbling through heaven, and we just don't know it, because it felt like that. It felt so goddamn good, and so much fun. Of course, the evening carried on from there. Funniest part is, you know, midnight, we figured, okay, well, I guess we're done, you know, I don't feel like any more beer. We step out the door. We get no more than 10 steps out the door. We stop, both of us stomp in our tracks. Brian says, I don't know, you want to go back in? Yeah, let's. And we turn around and go right back in. We'd paid our tab and everything. Like 1 minute, out the door, turn around, right back in, running up a new tab. And of course the waitress laughing, of course you're back. You know, it's only midnight. Jesus, guys. You know, Brian, of course, up on the dance floor. By this time, the whole place was hopping and some other fine-looking people, including two people dressed for Mad Men, which, of course, I guess there was a lot, but they really pulled it off. A woman in a beautiful red dress, white gloves, holding a cigarette the whole night. A sight to behold, too. And the Don Draper, her partner, Don Draper, did a pretty good job. So, you know, what's all that about? It's just being open to life and being, you know, getting, I don't know, just, sometimes we sort of, a lot of people go by schedules and times and fixed plans. Okay, 8 o'clock, I'll meet you at this place and so on. And sometimes you just want to be open to what the hell. You know, it could have gone any other way. We could have gone in there. We could have left early. It could have turned out to be a lousy night. It wasn't. It was just, I always have the feeling, and of course this sounds awful, but I'm just continually being rewarded. For what reason, I don't know. But continually just getting these bonus gifts. And last night was the greatest one. It wasn't, you know, we didn't get to bed till 4 o'clock. I ended up back to my office, sending off a few email, and then walking back to Brian's. I have no shape to drive by then. And getting up this morning and feeling just fine. And one final comment. When I go out and get a little bit drunk, and I've said this before, it's a purifying thing. It's an act of purity. It's a Zen-like act of cleansing the body. Some people do meditation, do yoga. There's any number of ways. I do it by getting fucking drunk. Go out, get drunk, drink beer, have fun, loosen up, yell, sing along with music. And of course, the music on the dance floor last night, all that Halloween stuff, the Rocky Horror stuff. Excellent music, cranked up, full volume. You know, you just. Is it exfoliating? Is that a word? Just getting rid of all that shit that's in your body by just having fun, letting loose. God damn, that's a great feeling. And I woke up this morning when I was at Brian's in this state of calm, not hungover in the least, but in this state of calm where everything was poetry. Everything I look at, we had cereal, I had a bowl of cereal in my hand. I'm looking at a poem. I'm looking at the mess of leaves in his backyard that haven't been swept up. It's poetry. Everything was beautiful. You have that sense. So, did I make myself clear? I'm trying to contrast this to predicting in advance how something is going to be versus just fucking going into it totally open, totally receptive, totally, why not have a good time? That's kind of where I wanted to get to. And I don't know if I did a very good job, or I'm even going to delete this whole bloody thing, but that's what I wanted to say to you. Okay? Boy, oh boy. Sun's clouded over just a bit. Just still back to me and the swan now. And we'll be back. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.